Thank you, Joan, for that beautiful prelude. Can we praise the Lord for Joan and her beautiful playing? Yes, amen. Thank you. Well, good morning, church family. Thank you, Pastor Matt. And good morning to those of you joining us online. We welcome you to the Alameda Christian Reformed Church on this absolutely gorgeous day of life that the Lord has blessed us with. We are so glad that you are here and that you can be here to worship the Lord with us and to hear from his word later on in the service. And we gather not because we have it all together or because we're perfect. No, we gather because we need the Lord. And he so graciously offers us his grace and his forgiveness, and we can have eternal life through Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. All right. So we still have some weeks to go to donate to the Midway Shelter here in Alameda. So that bin is underneath the television screen in the front entryway of the church. There's also a list of items that they're that we're collecting for them. There's items for the shelter itself, items for the women who are staying there, as well as the children staying there. So we hope that you would prayerfully consider what you can donate to the Midway Shelter, and that is going to be through July 12th. So some weeks to come, some time for you to do that. Friday is game night at the Parsonage, correct? Yes. So if you, is that right? Yeah, okay. So if you like playing games with other people or you just want to come to socialize, we hope that you will join us for that fun time at the Parsonage, and that starts at 6 o'clock. 4th of July is on Saturday, so that's coming up already. It's going to be a really fun time for our church to participate in the 4th of July parade. For more details, the time that we're meeting on Saturday, do you know that yet? No. Okay, so around 9:30 we'll be meeting, but we'll get more specifics at that meeting that you're going to attend, correct? Okay, great. So Lincoln Street, 9:30, look for the Alameda CRC van. The McClure van is going to be decorated. And speaking of decorating, we're going to gather here at church on Thursday at 7 o'clock to decorate. And if you would like to help, we welcome that help. So please come on Thursday at 7 o'clock, and we're going to have a fun time together decorating the McClure van for the 4th of July parade. Some items that we're still hoping to get donated are small water bottles for all of us who are going to be walking in that parade, as well as small Gatorade bottles. And then we're also hoping to get some ice donated. So if that's something that you can do, please go ahead and let Pastor Matt know. We look forward to that time together and representing the Lord in our parade. Coming up on July 26th, which is a Sunday, before our service, which, you know, starts at 10:30, at 9:30, we're going to have a memorial service to remember Rick Flood. So we hope that you can join us for that time of just celebrating his life, celebrating the wonderful man that he was. And after the service, we're going to be enjoying some of his favorite desserts during coffee hour. So that's going to be a wonderful time of remembering Rick and honoring him. And then next week will be the first Sunday of July, and so we will be celebrating communion together. So we just want to encourage one another to prepare our hearts for that sacrament and that special time together, remembering what Jesus has done for us. And so those are the announcements for today. If you are able, would you please stand for our call to worship? And this morning for our call to worship, we're going to pray the Lord's Prayer together. So would you pray with me? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now let's lift up our voices and our hearts in praise to the Lord.
The Lord God Almighty, He greets you this morning, and He says, grace and peace and love be yours in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. To confession this morning comes out of Daniel. O Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love Him and keep His commandments, we have sinned and done wrong and acted wickedly and rebelled, turning aside from Your commandments and rules. We have not listened to Your servants, the prophets, who spoke in Your name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. To You, O Lord, belong righteousness, but to us open shame, because of the treachery that we have committed against You. Would you pray with me our confession this morning? Almighty and merciful God, Father, we have erred and strayed from Thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the desires of our own hearts. We have offered against Thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done, and there is no health in us. But Thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us, miserable offenders. Spare Thou those, O God, who confess their faults. Restore Thou those who are penitent, according to Thy promise declared unto mankind in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for His sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of Thy holy name. Amen. And that assurance of pardon that we will remember today is the statement of faith that we find in the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all the things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day He rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits on the right hand of the Father. And He shall come again with glory to judge the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall come no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe one holy Catholic and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Amen. Would you join with me in our hymn of response, My God, How Wonderful You Are? Lord, we come and we worship you alone. We come acknowledging that you alone deserve our worship and our trust and our faith. For you alone can accomplish all that you promise, all that you say you will do. And time again, O Lord, you prove yourself faithful and just and right. And as we have confessed this morning, Lord, we acknowledge our failings and failure to glorify you, to acknowledge, Lord, you in every aspect of our life, to point to you, Jesus, in our words, in our deeds, in our thoughts. And we praise you, Lord, for your forgiveness. We praise you, Jesus, that you have paid the price that we may enter into your presence here this morning, unhindered, free, Lord, to worship. We glorify and we stand in awe of your amazing work in each of us. We thank you, Lord, for the fact that you do indeed hear the prayers of your people, that we see, Lord, you answer prayers throughout our lives. We thank you, Lord, for the comfort that you bring to those that mourn. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for your continued and persistent work in drawing and enfolding all of us who grieve loss, loved ones, friends, family, spouses, children. You draw us to your heart. You enfold us in your love. You comfort us, Lord, in our sorrow, and you remind us of your great hope. And so I thank you, Lord, for the answer to the prayers of your people. I thank you, Lord, for the answer to the prayers of your people that you have continued to sustain the health of Gia, that you have utilized, Lord, all of these tools of science for your glory and the remission, Lord, of cancer. And we pray, Lord, we pray that that would continue. We pray that you would establish her health. She would grow, she would flourish, that her life would be a testimony to your provision and to your glory. We thank you, Lord, for your answer to prayer, that those that cannot be with us, Lord, would experience your presence and your peace, your love that knows no end. We thank you, Lord, for putting people and servants in places, Lord, that can indeed speak your truth into their lives. And we pray, as we continue to pray, Lord, that you would put your servants in each of their lives to declare your great love for them. We thank you, Lord, that you never forget us, nor do you forsake us. That you love us . That is truly amazing grace, O Lord. Lord, I thank you for continuing to bring healing to Julian. I pray, Lord, that the surgery that he will go under in the next couple weeks, Lord, would bring about the whole restoration. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would use it in his life to bring about your healing. I pray, Lord, that you would use even us, O Lord, to declare your glories to the community of Alameda, even in the simple undertaking, service, participating in the 4th of July parade. I pray, Lord, that we would recognize you in all that we do, and that that recognition, Lord, would shine forth. That many people would see you, desire you, and long to be in your presence. I pray, Heavenly Father, also, as we continue to look forward into this coming year and the service trip in January, for your blessing, and I pray, Lord, that you would continue to press upon the hearts, Lord, of those that you are calling to go. I pray, Lord, that you would give us courage to step forward. I pray, Lord, that you would give us the wherewithal to serve, Lord, our fellow community neighbors, to serve you. And so I also, Lord, lift up World Renew, who has these types of projects all through the world. As soon as a disaster happens, Lord, they are in the midst of the recovery. They're in the midst of building communities in developing nations. They are, Lord, taking seriously the call that you've placed on your church to be the hands and feet of you, serving, Lord, our neighbors, serving people around the world. So I pray for the offering that we take, Lord, here, that you would, Lord, continue building your kingdom through this ministry, that you would take this offering and, Lord, use it to your glory. I pray also, Lord, that as we continue through this service, as we continue to come into your presence and to seek you with our heart and mind and soul and strength, we would love you, that you would continue your good work in our hearts to turn them towards you, and that, Lord, you would be glorified and continue to be glorified here this morning. In Christ's name I pray, amen. At this time, I'll invite our deacons forward to receive our offering this morning, which will be for World Renew. Thank you. Children, you can come forward. We'll dismiss you for children's service. Well, no, it's not. It's Kids Connection. Come forward. So preschool through eighth grade. And those that want to be eighth graders. A little sign language to dismiss you. So the Lord be with you. And also with you. All right, watch out. The windows are open. Please don't run into them. You may run, but don't run into the windows. No, they are, yeah, you may go. Go. Olivia's dad is already up there. He's anticipating your arrival. I saw him. He's like, yes, I get to teach the kids about Jesus. And we're like, yes, we get to learn about Jesus. We are going to Galatians. So open up your Bibles. Dust them off. If you didn't bring your Bible, that's okay. There's one in the pew. And if you're using the one in the pew, you don't get page numbers today. Ha ha! You get to practice. Open up. You get to the Psalms. That's usually the middle. You go to the right. Keep going to the right. A bunch of Hebrew names. Keep going until you recognize names. Then you're in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John are the first four books of the New Testament, and they are the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. You've gone too far. You got to come back. If you started in the back in Revelation, I can't help you. Just go to the front, find the... All right, so here we are. We're in Galatians chapter 1 as we continue our series on freedom, specifically freedom in Christ, for the Son sets you free, and you are free indeed. Amen, amen. And so Paul, addressing the Galatians, wants them to return to that freedom because they exchanged it for chains that bind and blinders that are blinding and a heart that is burdened. He wants them to be free. So today we're going to Galatians chapter 1. We're reading verses 13 through 24. For you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people. So extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my father. But when he who had set me apart before I was born, and who called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son to me in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with anyone. Nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia, and I returned again to Damascus. Then, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas, and remained with him 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. In what I am writing to you before God, I do not lie. Then I went into the regions of Syria and Sicily, and I was still unknown in person to the churches of Judah that are in Christ. They only were hearing it said, he who used to persecute us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And they glorified God because of me. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Lord, we gather together on these Sunday mornings with the expectation of meeting with you. And also, Lord, with the expectation that you are going to continue your good work of transforming us by your truth. Not the shallow transformation on the outside, Lord, but the deep transformation of the heart. So, Lord, here today, by your truth, transform us and set us free. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Free to change. Amen. Can a person change?
No, I don't know.
Sure? Sure. Sure. There's so many roadblocks to it, aren't there? I can't help but think of a healing that Jesus did. He was at the Lake of Bethesda, and there was a paralytic man there. And the legend was that when the waters were stirred, you got into it, and then you were healed. And he'd been there for years, I guess. And Jesus came up to him and asked him, do you want to be healed? And the paralytic man looked up at him and was like, well, no one's helping me into the pool as soon as they just slip right in before me, and I can't do it. That response always baffles me. Because here you have, and granted, he didn't know. Granted, right? But here, standing over him, was the one who formed the foundations of creation by a word. Who sustained all that he created and doesn't even notice because his power is so surpassing. And to hear the question, do you want to be healed? And to look up at him and say, well, I can't get in the pool. Free to change, it sounds nice. But when asked the question, when I ask myself the question, well, do people change? And then we're all like, well, kind of no. But that does a disservice to the one who's standing over us and asking us here today, do you want to be healed? Do you want to be changed? The Galatian church was all excited about this new teaching about the gospel. And we talked about that last week, that this new gospel was heresy. It was a half-truth that only brought slavery and bondage. And instead of bringing the Galatian church closer to God, it sought to drive a wedge between them and God. And here this morning, we're talking about the mighty work that I believe we here today give testimony to, and that is that God changes people from broken to whole, from sick to healthy, from despairing to rejoicing, from lost to found. And I believe it is true for every one of us. And that's why I love to encourage, to help, to prod everyone I meet into doing the very scary testimony. We're going to walk through it a little bit, and I got a little handout for you. Something for you to try at home or while you're doing here tonight, here this morning. And this is the Free to Change Testimony Help, where we're going to walk through Galatians and see how Paul does this with his own story. Because story is a profound carrier of message and relationship. That's why we as humanity continue to invest so much in storytelling. And what do I mean by that? I mean, just look at the movie industry, the television show industry, the book industry. We love to tell the story. We love to tell stories. And so the first thing on our list here then is to begin with what is the beginning of our story. Paul writes in his letters to Galatians, before when I was a Jewish zealot. And that kind of sums up what his story was in all of the other pieces that we find through the book of Acts. So this is actually the fourth time we're getting Paul's transformation story. It said, before I was part of this faith, I did some horrible things. That's even being kind of gracious, isn't it? He went out and actively sought to destroy the faith. Why? Well, it wasn't because he was sowing his wild oats, because a lot of times, you know, we like to hear those stories about a transformation. Amen? Right? Yeah, we love to hear how someone was in the gutter and they found Jesus and then they came into faith and they began to preach from here to yonder. One of my favorite small group studies that I've done over the years was I Am Second. There's just a list of all of these stories of I was lost and then I was found. In Paul's case, this is very interesting. What he was serving was religion, not God. So he knew about God, but he wasn't really interested in who God was. He really loved to create the environment of this is how it is. He said, right, before when I was in my religious state, earlier life when I lived in the Jewish way, when I was all about that, I recognized that it was destructive. And we fast forward to the end of our text here this morning. He notes the surprise of people. Isn't this the man who tried to destroy the faith, and now he's preaching it? Because as much as we desire and seek and pray for the change in our lives, we are still so surprised when we see it. When we are asked, can another person change? We, well, no, probably not. But and then as soon as we say that and we go into Scripture and we're like, yes, Lord, change me and everyone around me. We love to see you work, oh Lord. So we're stuck in this conundrum. So what happens in between? Well, as we continue on in our text, right, we get to see what happens. It wasn't Paul who was confronted by one of the people who was in the way. That's the fun term that Christians referred to themselves at the time. We are servants of the way. And with careful, constructed argument, persuaded Paul to reevaluate his whole life. that's not what happened. It was an act of God in a pretty spectacular and profound way. And it's really wonderful to hear Paul reflect a little bit on this, in which he said, you know, God had chosen me. before the foundations of the world. He picked me. And then he came. And he made sure that I knew who he was. And even though I was laying by the pool and I looked up and I was like, yeah, but no one's helping me. He said, rise up and walk. Perhaps you're like me and you hear that. And you're like, yeah, of course God would pick you, Paul. Look what you did. Planted hundreds of churches. You wrote over half of what we have in our New Testament. You worked miracles. Like, of course he would pick you. But the fact that he says, and it is biblically true, I believe, that God picked him before the foundations of the world, it was before he showed any potential. It was before he had done anything that he did. While his transformation is incredible, it wasn't because God saw something in him and said, I can use that. Because you know the thing about a God who can speak whatever he wants into existence? He doesn't need anything. He doesn't need me. He doesn't need you. And he doesn't need Paul. We're going to come back to that in a minute. So if you're like me and you're thinking, well, yeah, of course, God, you're going to pick him. Just know here this morning that he picked you. Just like he picked Paul. He knew you before the foundations of the world. He knew you before time existed. He knew you before your parents met. He knew you and he loved you and he picked you. He said, come into my family. If you're squirming in your seat, you're like, well, no, I don't pick Jesus. But you're hearing this message. And this message, it's a gospel message. Just like Paul instructed the Galatian church, that this original gospel message is the only. He picked you. He died for you. He's going to change you. He loves you for exactly who you are, but he loves you so much, he will not let you be who you are today. He loved Paul so much that he did not let Paul be who he was that day on Damascus. He loved Paul so much that even the murmurs and the rumors and the negativity towards him did not stop what God was going to use him for and to do. So when you are looking at this sheet and you are filling out that first section, the former life, this is where I was missing God. It doesn't have to be in the years in which you sowed your wild oats. It could be. It could be. It could simply be, I grew up in the church. I did the things that were expected of me time and time again. And I found that it led only to death because it did not involve God. I was missing God. I had a bunch of religion in my life. It kept me on the straight and narrow. It kept me out of, you know, drugs, unexpected pregnancies. It kept me out of jail. It kept me out of, you know, it just kept me on the straight and narrow. Here I am today. Everyone says I'm a good person. But I'm stuck. I'm not in a place in which I love God. I respect him. I do the things that I have to because that's what his word says, but I do them because I have to, not because I want to. And we're missing God. We're missing the relationship that we have in him through Jesus. We're missing the gospel message. And if you feel far from God, it's not that God left you, it's because we are prone to wander. We are prone to be so distracted with what he sets before us that while he is busy continuing to move, we are stuck right there. And we're staring at the pool and it's moving and we're like, oh, no one's helping me. Why aren't you helping me in here? Rather than saying, oh, Lord, only you hold all the power. Only you hold what I need to change. God did not leave Paul where he was. And he did not leave the church in the same perspective. He powerfully moved in both those lives to change them. And knowing Jesus, we are free to change. And we are free to change because it isn't in our own working it out. It is in God working in us. God is the one who called us into his family from the very foundations of the world. He had chosen us and picked us and brought us in, set us down. It is his continued persistence in our life, the Holy Spirit sending people in our way, and the Holy Spirit sending sermons on Sunday morning, and the Holy Spirit sending Bible studies again and again and again to us to bring us into that saving faith and that beautiful relationship with God that changes us from the inside out. It shapes and it forms our character. God alone is the one that does it, and it is a gift to us, not dependent on us. But many times we believe the lie that has been told to us that you cannot change. The lie that gets spread around so that it's a cliche. Oh, well, I'm only human. And when we believe the lie about ourselves, then we believe the lie about those around us. When we believe that lie about those around us that they cannot change, guess what we don't do? We don't hope. We don't pray, and we don't find joy in God. But he has given us the freedom to change. And change he does. And as we continue on in our text, the next section then is the solitary time, the solitary retreat. And we're tracking down with Paul's journey, right? Before I knew Jesus, and now I know Jesus, and in knowing Jesus, what do? Well, he went off by himself. He didn't go to Jerusalem. He didn't, as he said, right? He's like, I didn't go to Jerusalem. I didn't seek out the apostles, like, who were apostles before me. I went to Arabia. He didn't go to Jerusalem to get credentialed. He didn't go to sit in the instruction of those who knew Jesus and lived with Jesus for 3 years. He went off by himself to reflect on the truth of what God has told him, the change that he has made in his heart. He chose God. Paul consistently and continually also tells his churches, you must choose God. It wasn't that Paul was choosing to be an extraordinary church planter. It wasn't that Paul was choosing to be a gifted letter writer. It was that Paul chose God. And in this movement of Arabia, then, we have before us a little bit of practice in that self-reflection. So whatever you have to do this coming week, I would encourage you to find that Arabia, that place of solitude and silence to hear, to respond to the Holy Spirit. A lot of times I found in my life, I get so busy and so ready to run and do the next thing and the next thing and the next thing and the next thing that I am so distracted that I don't hear Jesus standing over me going, do you want to get well? I don't even hear him. And reflecting on how God has brought you from the place of missing God to the place of finding God. Reflect on the grace that he has given you. Builds and grows and nourishes our faith and our relationship to Jesus. We serve a living God. We serve a great God who loves us. Right, and so upon that reflection then, Paul realized in that period as well that God doesn't need him. He took time. It wasn't, oh, now I need to do this for you, God. This is very inspirational. When we meet Jesus for the first time, many of us hit that, we're like, oh, hallelujah, I receive in grace. Now I'm going to serve you, Lord, whatever you need. I'm going to do it. I'm going to, and we're off and running. Which is very exciting. Thrive and feed off of that energy. But it fizzles out. And when we stop finally after sprinting, we look around and we don't know where we are and we don't know what happened to God. And we're like, where'd that, where'd you go? Paul realized, hey, okay, I need God. God doesn't need me. So I can take 3 years and study and reflect and be in the presence of God. Because God doesn't need me. But then when he comes back and he comes into, and after his reflection, after his Arabia moment, after he fills out his little sheet that his pastor gave him on Sunday morning, he goes to Peter, Cephas. And I like how Eugene Peterson kind of paints this picture of them in his book, Traveling Light. He's like, yeah, so they put their feet up, they're sitting around the fire, and they're swapping stories. Because the Greek word here of what Paul is describing was happening is our word that we derive history from, which is basically story. They're swapping stories. What stories are they swapping? Well, I would imagine that it is the story of their conversion, their transformation, their change. And you can just hear Paul going, "Hey, you know what? I was a religious nut, and God changed me." And Peter's like, "Yeah, we know. It was a pretty remarkable change, and we're so glad that God did it, because we were having a hard time. Not gonna lie, we saw you coming into our town, and we all hid." And Peter's like, "Hey, well, you know, growing up, you know, my family went to synagogue on Sabbath. Yeah, it was fishermen, and that's about as far as we ever went. And then this man stood on the beach and calling to me, and I was like, 'Hey, I know how to fish better than you.' And I was like, 'No, you don't.' And then it turned out he did. And he said, 'Come follow me.' And I spent 3 years bumbling around with him and saying stupid stuff out of my mouth. And sometimes it was good and sometimes it was stupid. And he was always there loving me. And when he needed me most, he couldn't find me. I abandoned him. But he never abandoned me. He took me back and welcomed me home. I was missing God." Yeah, I can see that happening, right? So here's the God remarkable thing about our testimonies. That is, there's none that are the same, but they are all the same. That's why songs that have reverberated through the ages, like Amazing Grace, "Lost but now I'm found," still reverberate with us today. Because our details of our testimony are different. Each one of us here this morning. Some found Jesus sowing their wild oats. Some found Jesus sitting in Sunday school class. But that overarching theme, that overarching gospel message is we were sinners that needed grace, and God loved us and gave it to us. And it wasn't because he needed any of us here in this room, because he's gracious. He isn't trying to fill in the pieces of his plan. He's not, as those leadership books say, trying to find the right people to put on your bus, because he chose you before the foundations of the world. Like, he loved you so much. He loves you so much now. So that's the number four thing on your sheet, and that is to share your story. So after having worked through those three things, to share it. Because in sharing our story, it becomes real. We speak it and acknowledge it. When we say it out loud. When another hears it. And they celebrate with us in the transformation work of God. We affirm one another in the truth of the title of the sermon. We are free to change. And that is the final piece then, which is sharing the story. We share our stories in context of the story. And what is the story? With a capital T and a capital S, it is the gospel story. This is our chance to reflect and see where God has brought healing to us. Where we have seen him move and change and transform our hearts to being something that is miraculous and remarkable and can only be by his hand. Because this is the gospel story. Where we were dead in our sins, and he made us alive. Where we were no good, coarse-talking fishermen, and he made us his disciples who spoke eloquently, and through the Holy Spirit and the words given to that dense man, the rock, 3,000 came to know Christ. From taking a man who was hell-bent on destroying the church to being its biggest promoter. Taking me, wandering and mucking about, selfish, self-centered, and blind, to a position in which I can say, God has changed my heart. It's the story. And that story does not end until you stop breathing. That story of transformation is not dependent on how old you are. That story won't end until the fulfillment of what God promises us in Philippians. That God, who began a good work in you, will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So know this truth from Galatians text and through the rest of the Bible. You are free to change. Know this truth. Jesus is asking, do you want to be well? Know this truth. That is the grace of God in your life that will bring it. Would you join with me in prayer? Gracious God, who set Paul apart before birth, before the foundation of the world, and revealed your Son to him, Lord, I pray that you would do the same for us today. I pray, Lord, that you would set us free from striving and from self. I pray, Lord, for us today here in Alameda and for those streaming in, that, Lord, you would reveal Jesus to us, maybe for the first time, or maybe for a continued time, a fresh time. Lord, I also pray that you would give us the gift of Arabia, those times to be still, to listen, to reflect, And I pray, Lord, that you would connect us. Connect us in our story sharing. Build your community here, Lord, as you have in the past, continue to do so today. And Lord, gracious God, Holy Spirit, grant us the courage and the wherewithal to be sent out. To be sent out with the purpose to share good news. In our workplaces, in our kids' activities, in the upcoming celebrations of this country's birth, wherever we go, wherever we're doing, Lord, may we be ready to point to you, Jesus, to the very real reality that we are all living into, and that is that in you, Christ, we are free. We are free indeed. And I pray this in your Son's holy name. Amen. So, if you would and are able, please stand and we will sing our hymn of response. Receive the Lord's blessing this morning. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his countenance upon you and grant you peace. Amen.
my friend Rina.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.